Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18, upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt at Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your temple. Once again, Lord, we stand before your throne. And Lord, I ask that you would help me to preach what I believe you've laid upon my heart. And please somehow, Lord, speak to the people. I don't think that I'm worth listening to be honest. But the gospel that I preach and the one that I preach about, he is everything. He is everything, and certainly, Lord, I'm speaking of you. Please help us today, Lord, and we're careful to give you the glory, the praise, the honor, the credit. And in the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The Lord from heaven, Jesus Christ, is addressing calamity and talking about those that perished due to some calamity or some accident or some evil thing that Pilate had done. And he says that all men are the same, and that bad things don't happen to people because they're extra evil, or that they deserve it, or some such thing. The Word of God says that God's rain falls on the just and on the unjust. Bad things happen. But the Lord says something that isn't nice. It isn't comforting. If you hear news of a bad event, some calamity, some accident, something that happened, normally you would be expected to say something nice, something kind, to give your condolences, to say I'm sorry or something. But that's not what Jesus says. He says that bad things happen to everyone. And for those specific people that were mentioned, he says, "I tell you, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." You may say that that's cruel. You may say that, well, Jesus didn't have a good thing to say. And isn't he the God of love? Isn't that what Jesus is about? Love and caring and compassion? Certainly. Certainly. But you see, God looks at situations differently from the way men look at situations. Mankind has a way of thinking, a way of reacting, a way of reasoning, a way of coming to certain conclusions. But God has another way. And it's not cruel what Jesus said. And again, it looks like he didn't show any compassion at all, but just gave what some would call a bad or a negative report. But this is God from heaven speaking. This is the Lord from glory speaking. This is the Word of God that records it, and we're reading from today. God's ways are right, and man's ways fall short. I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. If you read Romans, we understand that God concludes all under sin. All are in need of a Savior. In the book of John, chapter 3, every Christian knows this. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Certainly, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Certainly. That verse is true, but a few verses back is also true. Ye must be born again. There's a great calamity coming to every man. Partially, I'm speaking of the second coming of Christ. When the sinners, they're going to ask that the rocks would fall on them and hide them from the face of the Lord that's coming. Certainly, I'm referring to the tribulation period, that horrible time that is coming. And may be closer than we think. But also, every man faces death. Every man, except you go in the rapture, every man will die. Some peacefully in their sleep. Some perhaps on the operating table. Some maybe in a horrible, fiery car wreck. But the fact remains that every man will die. And the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but then comes the judgment. Every man will stand before God. The only way to pass that judgment is to first trust in Christ. Believe John 3:16. Believe the gospel. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10. Repent and believe and call upon God's name. Because you see, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The ones that Jesus is referring to in this chapter died a physical death. But there's a spiritual death that's going to come upon every man unless his name is found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Again, I want to say that God does show mercy. God does have compassion. And any sinner that repents, God will forgive that man's sin. God will wash away the evil in his life. God will give that person a new life, not drugs and strife and rebellion, perhaps jail time, what have you, not the bad things in life. But God will give that person that repents the good things in life. Peace. Peace in the heart. An assurance of salvation. An overwhelming understanding that God loves him and is watching out for him. The Bible says that God sees every sparrow that dies and falls out of the tree and hits the ground. And that mankind and men individually are worth many sparrows. And truly it means that men are worth more than every sparrow that has ever lived on the face of the earth. God loves you and God cares for you. And as a preacher, I'm happy to preach the goodness and severity of God. A year ago, last January, everyone knows that that great earthquake struck Port-au-Prince, Haiti, and destroyed the city, pretty much completely destroyed it. We've all seen the pictures. The palace has fallen down. Many, many, many homes and businesses are crumbled down, and many people are living in tent cities outside of the city in the valley between Port-au-Prince and the mountains across the valley. And if you remember, I came to you that next Sunday, I believe, telling you about the things that I knew. I tried to give the report that I had. We all waited for the rescuers to pull those people out of the Caribbean market. There were people that were stuck in there a week or so, and one by one, a couple were pulled out after being trapped in the market and fearing for their lives. I know the Caribbean market very well, or knew it. I shopped at that market quite a number of times. The hotel where we generally stayed was about half a mile from that market. The earthquake was bad enough, but the fact is that hundreds of thousands of people no longer have a place to stay, and they're living in the tent cities. And we've all seen pictures on television. Those tents aren't very much. There's not really any protection from the weather. They had a couple of hurricanes that came through, and I truly am glad I was not sitting in one of those tents. Then the cholera epidemic struck. Cholera is a result of improper sewage disposal. And you can imagine, or maybe you can, maybe you can't, but you can imagine the horrible conditions, the poor sanitation that these people have to live in every day. Many of the people in Haiti are essentially illiterate. They may know how to read and write a little bit, but they don't understand science. They don't understand medicine. They don't understand very much because they don't have much schooling. But when the cholera epidemic struck, the people, they really didn't know what that was about. They knew that people were suffering and dying, but they didn't know what caused it. And they mistakenly, due to superstition and rumor, blamed it on the aid workers, the people from America and France and wherever else, that had come to help these people. They thought that somehow that they had brought some infection or virus or something, and the people caught it, as if cholera is some sort of communicable disease. They didn't know. But they reacted out of ignorance. And if the earthquake and the horrible loss of life and limb and people having to live in tent cities for a year now and the hurricanes and the cholera, if all of that wasn't bad enough, just a few days ago, the dictator, Baby Duck Duvalier, returned. He got on a plane with a diplomatic passport and landed in Port-au-Prince, got off the plane smiling. The man is a dictator. The man is a murderer. The man ordered that people be shot and beaten and terrorized. Perhaps you've heard of the Tonton Macoute. I know when I was there, the first trip that I made, or first trip or two that I made, December of 93 and January, February of 94. The Tonton Macoute had been so-called disbanded by that time, but those people never left. The organization in power at that time was FRAP. And these people were Totomacut that just found somebody else to work for, essentially. And I'm talking about secret police. I'm talking about shooting in the streets every night. Now, we have that here in New Orleans, murders every night. But the shooting that I heard wasn't criminals. It was paid thugs, paid by the government, at that time, Cedras and BMB. Paid thugs, who did just like the Totomacut. They would terrorize people at night. If someone said something against the government, or wouldn't go along with a policy or something, the Totomacut would come and visit them, and threaten them, threaten their children. And again, I heard shooting every night by members of FRAP, terrorizing the people who really just want to live their life in peace. But this man, Duvalier, has come back to Haiti. And if you read the news reports, nobody knows the official reason why he came back. They just had an election a few weeks ago, a presidential election, and there was some problem with it. There was some discussion about who should be in the runoff. And different governments, the Organization of American States and what have you, they had disputed the election. And in rides Duvalier. This man, for 25 years, has had charges hanging over his head, again, for ordering the beating and terrorizing and killing of Haitians. By all rights, his plane should have been met at the airport, and soldiers should have taken him off the plane and brought him to jail, and then to the arraignment. Again, this man has charges hanging over his head. But he came smiling and waving to his supporters, and a good many people have received him. Instead of wanting him to be arrested and tried, many people support him and want him to become dictator again. Now that to me is a crazy thought. But as I said, there's no official reason why he came back. Nobody in their right mind would go back to face charges. Certainly this man doesn't want to face any charges. He wants to take advantage of the situation and become president again, dictator again. And again, that's not an official analysis, but to me it's the only thing that makes sense. The man wants to take over the country and to rule and to terrorize once more. It is said that during his reign of terror, he stole a great sum of money. He stole aid money. When the United States or France or Canada or some country gives millions or however many millions of dollars for aid, for help, what have you, he stole. It's said that he stole about $500 million. To me, the only reason why he has come back to Haiti is he wants to be president again, and he wants to fill his pockets again. Now, what happens to him, I don't know. I saw that Préval had brought him in, so-called arrested him, but let him go after a few hours. They question him, what have you, but they don't know what to do. But whatever comes of that, I don't know. I hope he's arrested and either tried, sentenced, and put to death, or thrown out of the country. Because honestly, the worst thing that could happen a year after the earthquake is that this dictator, Duvalier, comes back to Haiti. But what happens to him, I don't know, and yes, I certainly care But in the greater scheme of things, it doesn't matter. I certainly hope that he's dealt with. But whatever happens to him, Haiti is still in the same predicament. The fact remains that Haiti's standing before God is the same. Remember the verse we read a few minutes ago. Jesus said, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." I pray that God would help Haiti, that God would get rid of this dictator, and that he would strengthen the government, and that he would help people rebuild, and that they would have enough food, etc. Certainly, I pray these things. But in chapter 4 of Luke, it says in verse 17, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" And it says, "He closed the book and sat down." This is God come from heaven, God come in the flesh. He begins his public ministry by reading from Isaiah, the passage I just read. And then he closes the book and sits down. This is God's answer for Haiti and Afghanistan and Detroit and Australia and anywhere else you want to name. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." But Jesus comes to preach the gospel, and he sends his servants, you and me, to preach the gospel. Ever since the earthquake, the people have been receptive to the Word of God. They sit in those tents night after night. There's nothing to do. There's nowhere to go. But every night there's a revival. Every night there's someone preaching the gospel. Every day there are missionaries and pastors and deacons going through those camps, praying for people, caring for people, counseling people, etc. The answer to the problems of Haiti and to the problems of New Orleans is the preaching of the gospel. You may say that the words of Jesus are cruel, but this is God from heaven, and this is God's answer to preach the gospel, the preaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the gospel.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shines his beam around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.